Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Changing the Conversation. I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and we are going to have yet another amazing show today. It is Wednesday hump day for a short week. So we know that this show is just really gonna amaze you, because we have an incredible guest today who her story of pain and music is definitely going to blow you away. But before we get started and bring on today's guest, I would love to introduce, as always, our co-host, A Bottle of You and A Bottle of You for Me. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, good afternoon, good afternoon. I know it's still morning on the West Coast, but yeah, it's afternoon here on the East Coast. You know, we do things a little bit earlier and better than the West Coast a lot of times, but hey, how you doing?
Did you say better? Y'all do it earlier and better than the West Coast?
Well, you know, the Army got their thing, the East Coast got their thing, so...
I was born in D.C., raised in Columbus, Ohio, so I love the East Coast, the West Coast. I feel like I'm about to start singing I Love the USA, but we're not going to do that this morning. How are you, A Bottle of You for Me?
Oh, I'm great. I'm over here telling my puppy to shut up. She's trying to talk on the radio today.
We have an amazing show today, an amazing guest, and again, we want to let all our listeners know to post it on your social media, post it on your Twitter, your Facebook, text a friend, and let them know that Punch TV Studios series Changing the Conversation is on the air. If you're listening to the show on the line and you'd like to join us in the Punch Bowl, please press 1. If you're listening to this show on your computer and you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. And press 1 to join us in the Punch Bowl. A Bottle of You for Me, who is today's guest?
Well, today's guest is a brilliant young lady that we had the fortune to meet. She produced her own life story in a movie called Pain and Music. And this movie is a blockbuster waiting to happen. She is very, very talented to act, to write, to sing and dance in this movie. She is the ultimate in talented. And she plans on making Pain and Music as a series. So this is going to be fabulous.
Well, good morning, Ms. Chiffon Collier. Thank you for joining us.
Hi.
In the Punch Bowl. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. So we're
told
that you have an incredible movie that's based on a true life story.
Yes, it is. Pain and Music is definitely based off of true events when it comes to my part in my life. But I pretty much put a lot of different situations that I've come in contact with other people as well, but more so my own life, just trying to make it in the music industry and growing up in urban neighborhoods and, you know, dealing with street guys and the whole street element and still trying to pursue a career. So it's a whole lot of everything mixed in one, but it's my life. So, yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about your life. How does it start? I know we don't want to give the whole movie away because
right.
everybody has to see it. They have to purchase the DVD. It's now available mm-hmm. on DVD. But tell us a little bit about it. Yeah. Give us a taste of what they can expect.
You can definitely expect some drama, passion when it comes to just being a female. I've always been a writer and a singer just growing up. I grew up in church, but like I said, we lived in the project, so I was always exposed to the drug dealers and, you know, the streets. So I've always been just the girl that just had big dreams, but singing has always been my goal, you know, to make it in the music industry and to write and things of that nature. So when I created Pain and Music, I just pretty much put the hardest parts of my relationship with a guy that, you know, was a part of my music, a part of helping build me as an artist, but also was kind of a downfall in me as a person, personally as a woman. So it was just a mixture of different things that were happening to me at that point in my life. And so I just got the opportunity to turn it into a movie. So you're going to see the pain from a woman's perspective, just trying to make it in a male-dominated industry. You're going to see that everything wasn't always that bad in the relationship and how things just switched up at one point. It's just a lot. You just get to see everything.
Okay. You actually mentioned you received the opportunity because that was going to be my next question. You know, mm-hmm. especially as women or just people in general, we go through things, we have relationships. What made mm-hmm. you decide to turn everything that you have gone through into a movie?
It was actually a random situation. I was actually meeting up with the videographer, Tim Terra, Pure Brilliance, about a music video. And while meeting with him about the video, I noticed a movie that he was working on, actually his first movie that he was working on. And I was like, okay. And so I just looked at the movie, and it was nice, but I still was there for my video. And so, you know, my manager at the time, he was just like, you should make a movie. You need to write a movie. And I'm like, I've never written a movie. I've always been a writer, but a movie, I was kind of like, okay, I don't know about this. So, but when I actually thought about it, I was like, let me see, because I could throw my music in with my words. And so that's the best combination as an artist. So I was like, okay. Let me just try. And as I started creating the movie, when I started writing, it just started all coming to me. Like, it just came to me. It was almost like I was watching it as I was creating it and writing it. So, yeah, it was something I was intimidated about. But once I started getting into it, I actually finished the whole script in 4 days because it was just all natural. It was kind of like therapeutic for me. Everything was just coming out onto the paper, so... Yeah.
Oh, wow. Then that is amazing. Many people spend years working on a script, perfecting a script. You know, some of that is delaying because you're afraid to actually take that next step. But you jumped right in
right.
there, wrote the script, did it all in 4 days. So what
four
happened
days.
After you completed the script? What was the next step?
The next script was just bringing the characters to life. As I was writing, like I said, I put a lot of different situations in there, but I could already see the characters. I knew how I wanted them to look. So then we just did like a casting call for people, and we held the casting call at a local venue, and people came out. And a lot of people were skeptical, thinking, okay, she's going to do a movie. They didn't believe it was going to actually happen. So I didn't get the best turnout on every character that I wanted, but the people who came were perfect for what I visualized. So that was just amazing by itself. And as we continued and, you know, as we started shooting, other people were like, oh, I want to get in this movie. I really got to get in this movie. And I'm like, well, I told y'all I was casting for it. So, but yeah, it came out like the people who showed up for the parts were perfect for those parts. And so that was a blessing by itself.
Okay, so since your movie was based or loosely based on mm-hmm. your life, were there people who saw themselves in your movie and recognized themselves and like, hey, that's me?
I think the main person definitely recognized himself in the movie. Like I said, I don't want to give too much away, but the main person in the movie that, you know, was recognizable definitely recognized himself. Other people, not so much. They never said anything, but I'm pretty sure they have an idea that it's them. I changed the names, but they knew it was them.
We have changed the names to protect the innocent and the guilty.
Yes, so, exactly.
So the main character recognized himself. So what was that conversation like? Did you, I mean, you let him know he was going to be in the movie, he's coming out, and he saw it. What was that conversation like with him?
I think I wanted more, I've never been asked this question. I don't know if I wanted like vindication or like, okay, because if you see the story, it's a lot of sad things that the character that I'm playing, which is me, but Neve, there's a lot of things that Neve is going through that were hard for me to relive. And this person is always around. So he knew some of the things that I had, the male lead guns in the movie, some things that he would say, this person knew he said to me. So it was like we were both on set. So it's like, okay, he never really said anything about it. It was just something like, okay, you know, it created a story. So, yeah.
Okay. So when you completed, okay, did you have a distribution for the movie before it was complete, or did you go looking for distribution once you have completed the movie?
Yeah, I really didn't have any expectations except for that I wanted it to go to the next level. I didn't, like, have any particular, like, platform going into it. And then I had people from Netflix and different companies reach out to me based off of like mutual people that I knew who had these connections. So, you know, it was different avenues, and then there was Redbox, and, you know, I just was just, you know, taking different offers and having different meetings and just knowing that the product itself was going to do something big. Also, it was entered into a couple film festivals. And so, but, you know, it was my first time, so it was really a process of just kind of, like, jumping in. Because, you know, I'm into music, but the movie world and the whole movie experience was something brand new for me. So I'm still learning, but it's definitely getting a lot of great exposure now.
Absolutely. So you said that you spoke with Netflix and Redbox. Who was the film initially released through?
Initially, it was released through Amazon, actually. Amazon released it. I had different situations with them. So at this time, it's actually independent still, and I'm working on the series. If you see the movie itself, you'll see how it ends. And so, it's gonna become a series from that point on. So you got to see the movie to kind of understand where I'm going with the series.
Okay, and so in the movie, you're a girl from an underprivileged surrounding with a passion for music. So how does the music play into this gangster love story?
I think it's just me being myself. That part of me has just always been there. I don't know. I've always been in groups of guys, as far as music-wise, that were rappers, and I was the female singer. And like I said, with it being male dominated, my managers have always been men, and it's just always been that element of males around. So just putting music into the movie was just like a no brainer for me. And it just all kind of played a part of, you know, me coming up. Like I wasn't somebody who had like a big financial backing or, you know, any big name connections or anything. I was just the girl that could sing and got on some tracks and did some hooks with some rappers, and then met this DJ, met that DJ, and then it just all kind of, like, spread in my area. So, yeah.
What was the response after the release? I mean, did people come around and say, you know, you changed, or, you know, now you go to Hollywood? What was the response to the movie?
It was, well, people never told me I changed, but I think I got a lot more respect from a lot of people. Like, a lot of people were like, okay, you're a female and you successfully completed a movie. Like, a lot of people try, well, you know, especially not having, like I said, the big network of people that I can reach out to, just actually thinking of it and coming up with the idea and actually being executed and put out and having two premieres, you know, successful premieres in my local area. People just were, I think, proud of me more than anything. I think I really mm-hmm. did get a lot of love from a lot of people coming up with a movie in Norfolk, Virginia. So, yeah.
Okay.
I was proud of myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely proud of you. We are proud of you here at Punch TV Studios. So I
want
to talk a little bit more. You're very welcome, of course. So I want to talk a little bit more about your premieres. I mean, it seems as mm-hmm. if, you know, you are taking a lot of steps that a lot of people would be afraid to take. You're stepping out on faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're using courage. But it just seems to me, it just seems like you're taking everything in stride. What was the most difficult aspect of this whole process for you?
Oh, the most difficult? Honestly, during the filming was probably the most difficult as far as schedules, because every person in the movie going into it were excited, and they were just like, oh, yes, my schedule is free. I'm open this day, whatever time. I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. We're going to get this done. But we ended up taking longer to film than we thought. You know, I didn't know. So, you know, I thought it was going to be done in 3 months. But when the schedules came into play and people had to cancel, or, you know, they couldn't stay as late as they needed to, because everybody had their, you know, own individual lives as well. So just having to work with everybody's schedule and still try to make this project complete was the most difficult part. Like, once it was all filmed, I could breathe. I couldn't breathe until everything was done. So we got all the scenes out the way, and we finally got that. Then it was good after that.
What was, like, the biggest thing that you learned from doing the movie?
Biggest thing? I definitely learned that it's important to have a team. You can have all these ideas to do yourself, which I'm the type of person, I can play a lot of roles because I know how I want everything done. But it's nothing like having a team of, like, like-minded people who believe in the same outcome on your side. You know, just it's a hard thing to do by yourself. Like, it's almost impossible. So I definitely learned that having that team with you is the best way to get it done successfully. And just having the right team at that, I'll say, the right people around.
Is there anything that you would have done different? Aside from the scheduling?
I don't think it's anything I would have done differently. I don't think it's anything I would have done differently. Just moving forward, I would probably just make sure that, I don't know, because it was just like, it was one of the things that were just like, okay, I'm jumping into this and I'm going to do it, and I'm probably going to make some mistakes and have to go back and do certain things, like release forms for one. That was one thing that certain locations I should have had release forms, and I didn't think like that, but I learned as I was going, and now I know, like, I have to get all the paperwork done ahead of time, get everything, like, situated as far as paperwork beforehand. That's probably the most, that I would try to make sure of, but everything else is just organic to me, like, just being on set and creating, and it's going to be different every time, and depending on what actors you have around and how passionate they are about their roles, it's just like, it's going to be a different experience each time, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, this is a gangster love story based on real events. What was it like for you to relive those events?
Oh, it was, like, surreal. Like, I cried after some scenes. Only some people knew that. Everybody didn't know that. But, yeah, because it was like, you don't go through life thinking that, oh, this is going to turn into a scene in my movie. But some of the things had just happened, but they made sense in the movie, in the story. So I had to show certain things so that people could understand. And it was kind of refreshing for me that people perceived it the way they did, because some of the times the things that I was going through, I would blame myself or I couldn't see myself. I couldn't see what I was in, but I was almost able to look at myself through myself, if that makes any sense. Like watching it on TV and on the screen was like, wow, this is what you was going through. This is how it looks, and this is how other people see it. So, yeah, it was overwhelming.
I completely understand. The only, I guess, the difference is probably for the last 4 years or 3 years, you know, around here at Prince TV Studios, we have this little joke, like anybody does something or is some event that is dramatic, I guess, we always say, that's going to be in the movie. That's going to be in the movie.
Right.
Because there's so many different things that happen that, you know, the journey of Punch TV Studios and what it took for us to get here, that people would not believe it. They're definitely not going to believe
some of
the things that happened. And so we want to make sure, okay, this event, this day, right here, right now, it definitely has to be in the movie. Because I'm telling you, and I know you understand and believe, is that sometimes truth is just stranger than fiction, you know. So
yes.
For you to be so honest and so real and share your experience with other people, I think that's really a beautiful thing.
Thank you. And that's the thing that kind of got to be conflicting for me, is when people saw the movie and they're like, oh, my God, I love the movie. I loved it. And I love that everybody loved it, but a lot of people didn't get that I was telling my story. They just was like, oh, that we know. We love it. But it was only a few people that were like, wow, I can't believe you went through that, or you were going through that, or I could never tell this was happening, or that type of stuff. Like, that meant a lot to me as well, for people to actually see the pain that I released through this movie, not just so much as, oh, it was a great movie overall. Like, so, yeah.
Now, you mentioned releasing that pain. After the movie was finished, after the movie came out, was that therapeutic for you? I mean, did that help heal you in any way?
It just made me, it's one of those things that made me look at myself. Like when somebody tells you, look in the mirror and see yourself, you don't really see it sometimes until after, or sometimes before, you know, until it's too late. But for me, like I said, the movie became something where I could almost see myself, and I wasn't always proud of the things that I allowed to happen, or some of the things, yeah, that I dealt with. I wasn't always proud of it, but I was like, I'm just being honest. So hopefully other people can learn from it, and more importantly, females and girls can look at me and hopefully see, you know, this is what could happen, and, you know, try to avoid some of the mistakes that I made.
Yeah, and no. Your story, your gangster love story, is based on real events. And I know there are a lot of movies that are based on real events. Now, I don't know if you saw the Tupac movie that came out, but one of the things that Jada Pinkett Smith came out and said about the movie was that the whole scene where Tupac in the movie read her the poem, she said it never happened. Mm-hmm. It never happened in real life. So, I mean, there was some artistic freedom, I guess, that they used in order to make the movie, you know, a little bit more interesting. So when you say based on real events, I mean, you know, at the end, did you karate chop them or something that, you know, that didn't really happen in real life? But you like, you know, this is my movie. I'm going to make it where, you know what I mean, this is how I wish it would have happened.
I think I'm going to go more into things that actually didn't happen in the series. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, there are a lot of things that aren't real, that didn't actually happen to me. Like, I was never married before. That's in the movie. Mm-hmm. I've never been married, but that's there. And I'm not from Atlanta. I'm from Norfolk, but it's like those. It's different things, like little small things that I definitely threw in just to create more of a storyline and to just make it bigger. But yeah, it's a lot of it that's real, definitely between my character and the main male character.
Okay, don't give away all the secrets. I don't want to give you, you know, I'm just asking, I'm just noticing. But I'm just saying, but was it being married or something that you felt would just more compelling in the story, or is living in Atlanta that much, you know, more dramatic than the little, you know, Norfolk? You just, it had to be an interesting story that you wanted to tell.
Yeah, and then I think I was thinking into the future, wanting to go to certain locations and put the characters here based off of people that I knew. Like, I was thinking in all areas as I was writing. So I was like, okay, I don't just want to shoot in Norfolk. I want to shoot in Atlanta because I know a lot of people musically in Atlanta. So it'll make for good, you know, good scenes. So definitely thought about that as far as location. And, yeah, I don't know. It just, like I said, it was like one of those things where everything that I've done before this movie, I just said it's going to be a way I'm going to throw all of that into this movie, almost like a bio. So you're going to see my life. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear my music. You're going to see some of my music videos. I'm pretty much the soundtrack of the movie. There's a couple other artists as well, but pretty much my music is the soundtrack music that I've recorded years before Pain and Music. I actually had a CD before the movie came out called Pain and Music that has lots of songs that are on the movie. So it's like my own little bio that I just threw it all in there.
Oh, wow.
And also thinking, you know, a lot of artists make music, and, mm-hmm. you know, when you're local and people don't know you, they don't gravitate to, oh, let me hear this CD, let me hear this CD. But everybody loves a movie. Like, not too many people are going to turn down just watching a movie. And then you get to hear me in the movie and see me in the movie. So I was definitely thinking on that level as well.
Well, so basically now created a bit. Go ahead.
The preview for your movie on YouTube, mm-hmm. right, Jafon?
Yes.
And I would love everyone to check out the Pain and Music preview on YouTube, because if you watch that YouTube video, you will have to get the movie. You'll absolutely
have to. Yes, definitely. It's two of them. It's an extended version, which is only like, I want to say maybe 3 minutes. And then the shorter one is 60 seconds. But, yeah, it's a trailer that kind of shows you a little bit of everything that you can expect in the movie. And that trailer is what set off the success of my premieres, because everybody was like, I got to see this movie based off of the trailers. They were like, I got to see this. So, yeah, shout out to Pure Brilliant, Kim Tara, the director of the movie. And, yeah, it came out amazing, and it had an amazing response, like unbelievable.
Now, this is about our youth. What made you contact Punch TV or Changing the Conversation, and are you a shareholder?
I am a shareholder. Honestly, I was referred to Punch TV through people I knew in the family. And they were telling me briefly how big the opportunity was and, you know, just being a part of something huge that was coming up and, you know, being an African-American female and being a singer and an entrepreneur, this would be a great platform to be a part of. So I was like, okay, let me look into it. And like I said, I trusted the people who told me that this was something that I should look into. And so I just made it do what it did.
Well, I'm glad to have you as a shareholder, and I'm glad really to hear the story. You know, we traveled across America letting everyone know about Punch TV, $1 stock shares, and you were one of the folks that, you know, we come in contact through family. You know, it's amazing when you run in the same circles but don't know everybody in your circle and how they might your life and be able to apply a difference in your life. And so I was so glad I heard about you. You know, I mean, you know, my mother is married to your friend's father.
Father,
yeah. And so it was so weird that the conversation never came up out of the whole time that we were out there on the road doing the Punch TV, you know, letting everybody know about the dollar IPO. And then just one evening, it just materialized and it became a conversation. And, you know, the parents actually kind of played a part in the background to be able to keep us communicating because we didn't know each other personally, but we knew each other. And I'm so glad that you had this opportunity, you know, to talk about your movie, Pain and Music. I really thought it was an awesome film. I remember when we first seen it, I wound up in Nubuki to let everybody on Nubuki know that, hey, this film right here is awesome. And so,
thank you so much.
No. Thank you for becoming a shareholder. Thank you for believing in
yourself,
you know, yourself and believing in us and what we're out there doing. I mean, you're really one of those successes that I can't talk about who took the opportunity of finding out about the IPO. And because you already had plans for your own life, it fit in. And a lot of folks in America don't know it's out there for them and that it will fit into their plan.
Definitely. Yes.
Yes, fantastic. Now, we do have to stop for a brief commercial break, and we will be back with Chiffon Collier, who has wrote and starred in a movie called Pain and Music. We will be right back.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nubuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nubuki?
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. We have a network of television stations around the country. And today, we are proud to announce that we have just launched our newest television station across all of Southern California. KILM is the new Punch TV. Check your local listings on Direct, Dish, Spectrum, Charter, Frontier, and over the air for free. From the desert to the sea, it's Punch TV. For more information on the second phase of the Punch TV Studio stock offering for only $1 per share, call 310-419-5914, 310-419-5914, or log on to PunchTVStudios.com. That's PunchTVStudios.com.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nubuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nubuki?
Do you, Nubuki?
Nubuki.
You own it. I see you are in the number two spot on the leaderboard.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it right now. So, don't have many celebrities in my life, you know, but me and Nubuki, you know, it's like it's just me there. Not that I know everybody else is doing stuff in the book, and I really, really appreciate it because it makes me look good. It's not that I'm doing anything fantastic. It's just that I'm really trying to get the content out about Punch TV. So I try to really associate everything that's going on so that it can hit many different platforms. And it's not that I was really trying to beat Joseph in his number one position. He's the CEO. He can have number one. That's not what I'm trying to do, you know. I think a lot of times people think that when you have a leaderboard, you know, because this is something I have to consider looking at Nabuki is that, okay, you got this leaderboard, and you want to know how I'm going to get to the board. I remember one of the callers had asked about all the different ways that you can move up on the Nabuki leadership board. And I don't even know if there's a reason for the board yet, but I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's not a top, 100 song or nothing like that, but, hey, I'm close to number one.
Yes, no, but really it's because you are doing something fantastic. And people always ask, how do you get on a leaderboard? And I always tell them the same thing. Sometimes I see the badges that I didn't even know exist. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know we had that badge. But all of it is based on being active, posting on Nabuki, uploading on Nabuki, just commenting, and that's what you do well. I mean, you own it all day, every day. And like you said, I watch it, and all I see is a bottle of youth. And I think it's wonderful because you both, you guys, that's why I love you, you really help us out. You know, and sometimes when people go to Nabuki, the last thing that we will want is somebody to see the last post on Nabuki is from last Tuesday. You know, because sometimes, especially now, we have until October 4th, to close out the IPO, so everybody, all of the executives at Punch TV Studios are really scrambling, and we haven't been on Nabuki as much as we should have. But then when we check Nabuki, it's like, okay, cool, a bottle of youth is holding it down. I mean, just like with changing the conversation, I can just handle everything else because I know when it's time to do changing the conversation, a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me are holding it down. So I love working with you guys and everything that we do. So we're going to have to get Ms. Chiffon Collier on Nabuki. We have to get her over there. Yes, because we want you to upload the trailer. Let us get a peek of what you're doing. But also I want to take a look at it because we are actively seeking new content on the network. We have an event September 27th. If you were here in L.A., I would love to invite you, but it's in Santa Fe Springs, California. It's going to be a fabulous event, and the reason we decided to have this event is because nobody at Punch TV Studios could get any work done. Every 5 minutes, not just 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., like every 5 minutes from midnight until midnight, the phone rings. Everybody wants to get the show on the network, so we just said, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to let people know what they need to do in order to get their show, on their movie on the network. So on September 27th, we are opening the doors to Punch TV Studios. We have invited everyone. The media is really buzzing because, like I told the people here, there is not any network out there from OWN to Bounce to Sony to any studio that is actively marketing and promoting that we are looking for shows. Because what happened is we just launched on KILM in Southern California, which covers over 16 million homes from the desert to the sea.
Oh, wow.
And we had everyone watching it, and the first thing they said is like, those shows are kind of a little older, you know. So we were like, we know that, but we're here. We're arrived. We're on the air, and with Southern California, Columbus, Ohio, Beaumont and Houston, Texas, Jacksonville and Pensacola, Florida, we're reaching nearly 26 million homes. So we're like, okay, let us take these little baby steps. Let us do what we can. So once we launched August 1st, we said now it's time to go out and actively seek new content. So we put the word out on the street, and we let everybody know that we are actively seeking new content. So there are three ways for people to submit our content. So for all of our listeners, I'm going to let you know how to do it. You can, first of all, if you're local anywhere in the Southern California area, if you want to drive over to Santa Fe Springs, we have a 10 a.m. session and a 2 p.m. session on September 27th where we're opening the doors. If you're not local or you're unable to make the event, visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. At the bottom, you'll see a little button or a little link that says submissions. The other way is for you to go to Nabuki, find a bottle of youth and ask a bottle of youth, hey, bro, can you hook me up? He can get you in the door and talk to the people, but you got to do one of those three ways in order to get your project, your TV show, your film on to Punch TV. So if anyone is just now tuning in, as always, you need to listen to the show from the beginning. So go to the archives. We are speaking to Ms. Chiffon Collier, who both wrote and starred in a movie called Pain and Music, a gangster love story based on real events. Chiffon Collier co-produced the soundtrack song selection for the film. She sold out two successful movie premieres with the film and now has it available on DVD and soon available for online streaming and possibly on Punch TV. We're going to work on that and see what we can do. She's a girl from an underprivileged surrounding with a passion for music, unbelievable drive and creativity, and her soulful vocals hypnotize every audience that witnesses her. And we have Ms. Collier on the line today in the Punch Bowl on Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studio CEO Mr. Joseph Collins, with Sharifa Harvey, a bottle of youth, and a bottle of youth for me. So this is a show that you definitely want to take note of. So Ms. Collier, you are a stockholder in Punch TV Studios.
Yes.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your support. We always tell people, whether you invested $1 or $50 million, we appreciate you for joining the movement that is Punch TV Studios. And we tell people quite honestly and openly that we give preference to our stockholders. We don't try to hide that fact. We don't, you know, try to go around the bush and sugarcoat it. We give priority to our stockholders. And the reason that we do this, and, you know, a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me know that there are certain shows that I probably get my hand slapped on, and I think this comment is about to be one of them. But we spend, I'm not going to give a dollar amount, but we spend a lot of money per month. I mean, not only in expenses, but to be in Southern California. You know, we put out a lot of money. And so the thing is, people always want a show. Everybody wants to be on television. Everybody wants to be, you know, have their movie seen and their project seen. And you know what? They want their dreams to come true. And we do. We want everyone's dreams to come true. We want everybody to get everything that they want and they deserve. And we know that they have the most fantastic movie that's even more fantastic than everybody else's fantastic movie. But at the end of the day, we have to pay bills. And the bill is KILM, keep us on the air. So we need the support of everyone. Everybody needs to be a stockholder in Punch TV Studios so that we don't come to Southern California and then a couple years later we're no longer in Southern California. We want everyone to be a part of what we're doing. We want longevity. So we're looking for people just like a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me who go out and are our biggest evangelists. When we aren't able to go out and we can't travel the country and we, you know, we're not everywhere, they come through for us. A bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me drove down to North Carolina and gave us live coverage of everything that was happening in the riots in North Carolina. So we just want people who support. Yes, they did. It was Virginia?
Yeah, that was Charles.
Okay, wow. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I was getting correct. But the moral of the story was they drove in their car on their dime to Charlottesville. Charlottesville, okay. They went, and they helped us out. And so that's why we're looking for shareholders before, you know, we do anything else. Because to me, I look at it as a party. Right, wrong, or indifferent, this is the Punch TV Studios party. And I'm going to tell y'all something that y'all may not know. I throw a hell of a party. Mr. Collins throws a hell of a party. We do. We throw an amazing party which we're going to throw September 27th, and you're going to see a Punch TV Studios party. We haven't thrown a party in about 4 years, but one of the main things that happens anytime you throw a party, you know, I'm telling you, everybody knows that one friend, that one relative where you like, oh, I'm going to their party. If they having something,
oh, yeah.
I am going to be here. So everybody wants you to throw a party. But then I start going, okay, we having a party, but who's going to bring the chips? Who's going to bring the cake? Who's going to do the music? Who's going to bring the food? You know, everybody wants to come to the party, but, you know, as far as helping
right.
with the party, so that's why we always start with our shareholders first, because these are the people who brought the items for the party.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I definitely am trying to check my schedule so I can be there. I definitely want to be there. You said the 27th?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We set it for September 27th because it's 1 week prior to the IPO closing, and this is going to be our last rally, our last shebang. We opened the IPO in June of 2016. We are closing this bad boy out. $50 million, we're moving on to production, we're focusing on the stockholders meeting, we're going to trade on an exchange, most likely, possibly the NASDAQ. We more than qualify for the NASDAQ, but the September 27th is the last event that we're having prior to closing out the IPO. So if you're a producer, if you're a writer, if you're just a dreamer, and you don't even have anything prepared, you will want to be at Punch TV Studios on Wednesday, September 27th. You will be able to meet the executives. You will be able to see the sets. It's just almost like a museum, and you just be able to walk around and see it. Like Universal
oh, wow.
Studios, you'll be able to see everything that we're doing. And again, you know, people have contacted us, and they said, oh, well, you know, I have to work. I have this TSA lady who wouldn't stop talking to me, and she kept telling me over and over and over and over again how much she had to work and how she was at – she'd been at TSA for 10 years, and her boss would never let her go, and she couldn't take the day off. And I'm like, okay, I get that, but just like any party, if somebody throws a party and that party happens to conflict with whatever's on your schedule – you can't change the party. You have to, maybe you'll make it the next time. Maybe it's,
exactly.
it's another day. But the people who want to be there, the people who this is their dream, their primary focus is to be on Punch TV Studios or be on Punch TV Network, they will be there. And then, it, you know, when people tell me these things, I tell them, a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me drove across the country. For Punch TV Studios. So people who want to do something and it's important to them, they will do it. So
make it happen, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give priority to all of the stockholders, but I can tell you right now, honestly, we are giving the priority to the stockholders who are there on September 27th. And it's not, again, that we're trying to be mean or exclude different people, but everybody knows, just like when you go for an interview, they always tell you, oh, come in and let's meet. You know, you could talk to them on the phone, you can email back and forth, but when you're sitting in somebody's face and they could put a name
right.
and a face to who you are and they could associate Chiffon Collier with pain and music,
mm-hmm.
it makes us easier. It makes it easier for us to make a recommendation and say, okay, let's put this show on the air. Not because it's necessarily so much more amazing than everybody else's. It's because, you know what, now we know who you are, and you are a part of the Punch TV Studios movement.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well,
I will be there. I'm going to just put that out there now.
Well, yeah, she's already in the back. See, she didn't know it. She just didn't know. See, a lot of times I pick people up,
yeah.
and I say we go into the store, and we end up in another state. So that's what I had planned on doing with Chiffon. It might have been an Amber Alert or something like that, but we would have worked that out by the time we got to California.
Right.
Okay, just I mean, just, hey, if it's an Amber Alert and the police show up at Punch TV Studios, it's all good. We just going to film it, and then all of a sudden it's going to be a new show. That's why I said there are so many things that happen during the course of creating this company that when people, there is going to be a movie, but when people see this movie, they will not believe. I'm telling you,
right.
They will not believe. And sometimes, because I've been with the company for 4 years and helped Mr. Collins build the company, and sometimes, I love telling people about my struggles, and he's always like, Sharifa, why you always have to tell people about the struggles? I'm like, because that's what got us here, and
right.
I'll even tell people this story. I always tell people personal stories, and Abala Youth for me know way too much about me. But I'm going to share this story real quick.
Yes.
My car. I always tell people I lost my car because, everything I did based on sweat equity. So Mr. Collins gave me stock, a considerable amount of stock in the company, and so that's how I'm going to buy my island in the Maldives. But it wasn't always that way. And so one of the things that happened is my car, they came to repossess the car. And I came out and my car was gone. And I remember it being a, I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday. And so I called the people and I'm like, okay, where is my car? And it was like, okay, we got it or whatever. And it was some stuff, valuable stuff that I had in the car that I wanted. And when I talked to them, they told me, they said, you can come get your stuff next Thursday. And I'm like, wait a minute, I kind of need that stuff. And it's like, you can
now,
come get
right?
it on Thursday. Right. And, wow. I told them, I said, you know what? You keep that, okay? Because it's not even that important to me. And by the time, next Thursday comes, I could have gone, gotten a new laptop, got a new different, I just replace it. It doesn't even matter at this point, But when people see some of the things that happened and the things that, occurred, they're going to be blown away. They're going to be like, oh, no, that's fiction. They changed it, to make it more enjoyable, to make it more entertaining. But this is another reason why I'm so sensitive about Punch TV Studios. I'm sensitive about everything that we do because right now we're at the Super Bowl. That's where we are. We're at the Super
Bowl.
There are people who are
amazing.
Going to be able to play. To play in the Super Bowl, but those people weren't here for the last 5, 10, 12, years that it took us to learn and to create what we needed and the sacrifices, where everybody else was at the club, we was at the studio working. So now we're at the Super Bowl, but everybody wasn't a part of the sacrifices that it took to get us to the Super Bowl. So
I can't wait to see
the movie.
I am so glad to be at the Super Bowl. A lot of folks don't understand what we went through over this last year, between the accident, April 1st, 2016, our house being sold from up under us on May 19th, 2016, us finding out on the 27th that happened at 7:30 in the morning because the owner came and wanted keys or money. So the 31st, I had to file bankruptcy. In order to return the house back to us, North Carolina was one of those states. They have a 10-day upset bid time frame, and I always consider myself to be very educational to want to go find out information if I don't already know it. So it made things hard last year, but easy at the same time. I mean, most folks out here in this county really thought we weren't even living here. Because we've been on the road for so long, here and there. So they really thought we had really lost our home, But, no, we saved our home. We've come out of our bankruptcy. We're back where we belong. The family's back together. We had issues break out, because of all of this turmoil, that started with the car accident last year and us finding out about Punch TV. If I didn't have Punch TV in my head when I found out about our house being sold. I don't know if I would have went as far.
Right.
I don't know if I would have made sure that everything worked out and that I crossed my T's and dotted my I's. This was something that we had to be very, very diligent on. And so doing all of that and being on the road at the same time, I used my phone. I mean, if I had to contact an attorney's office – I use my phone. If I had to fax something, I use my phone. I did this over the last year of being on the road, you know, because I want to show my family, I don't care what happens in life to you, don't give up.
Don't
keep
give
fighting,
up.
And you're going to make it,
yeah.
Period. And if you say you're going to make it, you
amazing.
Exactly, and I'm exact agreement. And the other thing I just wanted to add, because that's new to me. I mean, I knew about the car and I knew about that, but everything else was new. And the thing is it's a testimony of what it takes to get to the Super Bowl, and we all win.
Mm.
Because when they repossessed my car, and my car was gone, there were some people who just laughed and was like, "Oh, Sharifa's this and Sharifa's that." And then what happened to me was, Right after they repossessed my car, I received a letter in the mail. And you can Google this, listeners, if you don't believe my story, because I'd be like, look at God. Anyway, let me tell you. But
yes.
I received a letter in the mail that said Santander, which was the lien holder for the car, had illegally repossessed cars. That the way they repossessed the car, they was not supposed to do. They had to go through the proper processes and procedures. So they did a class action lawsuit, and what happened was Santander had to forgive it. They had to forgive everything on, I don't know how many people was, hundreds of people, thousands of people, but whatever I owed in the car, they had to forgive that debt and remove it from my credit report. And in this time frame in which they went through the class action lawsuit, it had basically been like a couple of years. And so by the time all this happened, you know, I had moved on my life. I was good. They, you know, they removed the debt. I went out and bought me a 2015 Toyota Camry, and I was happy. I was like, yes, really, God. And so the same people who were like, oh, Sharifa got a repossess. Sharifa has no repossession, none. Sharifa has moved on. But that's why people always look at the struggle, and I love to struggle. Yeah. I'm one of those people, I will be a multi-billionaire, and you won't know it, because I want people to think that I'm struggling, because then I can see how those people treat me and how they, you know, interact with me, because they think you're down. So
That was my story. Wow. That's amazing.
That is so powerful. You know, I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to really have these conversations today. I know, you know, this was a fun show, but I really think, you know, so much more has come out and to talk about the family life of Punch TV. You know, Sharifa, I didn't know you went through that. You know, I thought you knew about us, because I put everything on the bookie. I document. You know, I mean, throughout this whole time, I was fighting with the police department. They wouldn't let me get one of my kids. I mean, it was crazy, you know. The sheriff was involved. I've gotten rid of the sheriff.
I kept seeing the car. I saw the car in the accident and how it was, what you would call it? It was destroyed, you know. It was total. I saw the car, you know.
They called me to call us Wall Street now.
Thanks to you guys.
Thanks
to
you guys. So, you know, they're like, wait a minute, this guy, his house was sold. How is he still in his house? How is he in the Wall Street Journal? You know, it's so wonderful that all this stuff worked out, even though I was fighting tooth and nails. You know, and I would never let my family, you know, I mean, my wife knew what was going on, my kids knew what was going on, but they never seen me get upset. I mean, the day, May 27th, here at 7:30 in the morning, had this gentleman not come to my house talking about keys or money. I wouldn't have known, and if he came at 5:30, it would have been too late for me to do anything.
And we would have lost our home and our overpayment.
So I took all my whole June's payment and paid in May, because I had to go to my bank and ask my bank. See, people don't understand how powerful a question can be. I actually went to my bank 4 days early and asked them for my money for June in order to pay the bankruptcy attorney just to have that filed in time. So it reversed the sale.
And all my
look at God. Look at God. Yes,
amazing.
I went through a lot.
Wow.
Because, you know, I did. I went through a lot because, and this is why, again, I'm so sensitive about Punch TV Studios. Sometimes I go off at the office and the people be like, what is she on? But I worked for 3 years without receiving a paycheck.
I worked for 3 years. I didn't get my first paycheck until June of 2016 when we took the company public. So everything that I did was because I believed in this dream. I believed in this man. And people have asked me to this day, like, Sharifa, what made you believe in him like that? I said, because he wouldn't stop calling me. Like, he wouldn't stop calling me. He would not stop calling me. I'm telling you, I love a man to death because he, I mean, some people, when they're trying to do something, they call you and say, hey, Siobhan, how you doing? Can you help me with this? And you're like, no. And then they leave you alone. He called me. He was like, Sharifa, we got to do this. We got to do this. We got to take the company. We need this.
Yes.
And I was like, no. Yes. And that's why I knew we were going to be successful. Not I thought, I knew, because Joseph Collins does not give up. Rachel Ramos would tell you, she has this expression. She said, Joseph Collins, if he can't get in the door, he'll go through the window. But he will not give up. And that's why we have become, we have been so successful. That's why we are at the Super Bowl. And that's why we are actively seeking for, we're seeking people like you, Siobhan, who have wonderful content that's going to take us to the next level.
Yes, and I really respect that, what you're saying. Like I was saying earlier about having a team and motivated people with like minds working on the same goal is what gets it to happen, because that's a plus with anything, I feel. That's definitely, I'm proud to even be a shareholder now that I know more of like the history and, you know, how much was sacrificed just creating it. Like, it's amazing. And I believe everything happens for a reason, because this movie for me was a lot. Like, I've always been an artist in Virginia. People knew me locally, but I always felt like I didn't get the exposure that I deserved. And I was always told, you should have already been out of here by now. You should have done this and that. And I've always wrote music and done videos, and I would travel to different places, and I would do all I could to put my music out there. I write songs, I write all my music. So I'm just like, why isn't it paying off? So the movie for me was something different, but it was just like, okay, I'm going to put everything into this because I know this is going to happen. And as we were filming, I was like, this is it. Like, I know it's going to be something special about this movie. Something's going to happen from this movie. And I would have dreams like that I was accepting awards. And I'm like, I don't know if it's going to come from this movie, but something in this movie is going to spark something bigger in my life. I really believe that, like, genuinely. So this may be the opportunity that, you know, Punch TV that I didn't even see coming. So I just feel like it's all a blessing.
Yes, definitely. And the thing is that, you know, we may not ever know or always know where our blessings are come from.
Right.
But, when, you know, the thing that I always say here, and I tell the people on my team, is that God blesses what you put your hand to. If you work, and we work here from sunup to sundown, Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. And so it would be impossible for someone who works that hard for nothing to happen. I just believe in my
exactly.
heart of hearts that's only people who don't do the work. If you do the work,
yes.
at some point and some time, something is going to come from it. And what usually happens is, and when I do my speaking engagements, one of the things that I talk about is that most people lie. And what I mean by that is, most people will tell you that they want to live their dream, that they're going to live their dream, that they're going to start their own business or create their new film or travel across the country. But at the end of the day, when they get up tomorrow, they're going to go back to their job. They're going to talk to the boss that they hate, sit next to the coworker that they don't even like, on a commute that they don't want to take, but they're not going to do anything else to change their situation. They're not willing to do the work. So when I see people who are willing to do the work, I believe that everything, God, the universe, moves with them to help them achieve that dream. And then not only that, people who usually start working on their dream or their goals, they usually give it, you know, I'll try it for 2 days. That's why the diet industry is so lucrative. The diet industry
right.
is so lucrative, because most diet pills, if you read them, it doesn't matter what the ingredients are, they usually tell you on them, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, it tells you, take this pill for 30 days and you will lose weight. But what happens is most people can go for about 4 days, and then they forget about it. They get tired. They don't want to do it anymore, and they just stop taking the pill. So they don't even know if the pill was going to work or it didn't work because they didn't do it for 30 days. So this success is about all the people who stuck to it, who made it work. Our vice president of Punch TV, Rachel Ramos, has been with the company for 10 years. I've been here for 4 years. We did the work to make this company a success. We didn't just sit here and hope and pray, oh, Lord, please make this work. Okay, faith without action is dead. So we did the work to make this a success, and we did it for everybody else. We did it to create generational wealth and thousands of new jobs. So we are obligated to all of our stockholders, all the people who support us and believe in us, to make this company successful and to win at the Super Bowl.
Yes. I just want to applaud, like, wow, that's so inspiring, like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
It really is.
Yes, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yes,
well,
we went over.
I'm sorry. I told Siobhan yesterday, I said, now, when you have this conversation tomorrow, so I want you to feel different. I want you to continue your life different. I want you to know that things is going to start, you know, coming around. And I told her that once before when we had the conversation before she became a shareholder. And her story for me is great for us in a sense that she's one of the folks that
actually listen.
And, you know, some people don't want to listen to you when you tell them about a $1 IPO. I didn't know if y'all knew that. But, yeah, most people that I've run into, they looked at me like,
okay, bye.
I know where the hospital is that I can see if you want, you know. And see, I guess, you know, I bring myself along with me, too, when I'm talking to those folks. So a lot of times they're not sure who they're talking to. They just know that this gentleman is giving them information. He's really, really tall, and they probably should listen.
Right.
And that's generally how it goes down, but. I really do hope that Siobhan know and really believe that Punch TV is where she's going to be. I mean, when I seen the movie, I couldn't wait to be able to put you guys together, you know. And then I didn't know how to get you guys in contact. You know, I mean, I knew I was in contact, you know, through Nuki and Facebook.
And we'd call in sometime.
Yeah, we would call in sometime. But I just had this vision that she belonged with Punch TV. And I'm so glad that she's actually able to, you know, call in and tell you guys herself versus me having to try to sell somebody's, you know, story. And it's funny because we've run into a lot of folks who want to have something to do with Punch TV, but sometimes they still don't know if we have anything to do with Punch TV.
And they're not willing to invest a dollar, which is crazy.
Oh, I'm gonna say they're not willing.
Right.
I think they're scared. I think it's one of them choices where I've got 500 this month. How can I possibly work this out? And the only thing I can say to those folks is
50.
Our situation, we didn't have anything, and we were still working it out. I mean, sometimes I had to kind of bank on what we had coming in the next month to say, okay, well, I'm not going to pay this bill. It will get paid, but I'm not paying now. I'm getting my stock. And, you know, Sharifa, you know, tell you, we've called in, we've gotten 50 shares, we've gotten 20 shares, we've gotten 74 shares, then 100, and then we started going higher than that. But we've never lost focus with at least the 50 point. So if I had $50 at the end of the month, well, I couldn't think of how many cigarettes I could possibly smoke at that time or what else I could possibly get as far as a drink or something. I said, I know it's spent better on these stocks.
Right.
I can look at the drink,
and we,
you know,
appreciate
my Hennessy.
That.
I look at my Hennessy all day long, but sooner or later it's going to be empty. So, and I look at the same Hennessy bottle and started looking at dollars getting put in and started thinking about Punch TV. I was like, you know what, that's just what makes sense to me. And I would tell my wife, hey, I can't buy you no M&M's today because that dollar's going towards Punch TV stuff.
Right.
And she couldn't understand why it's just a dollar. I said, baby, the stock is just a dollar. And if I get a dollar, that means if you don't eat candy for a while, then we can get some shares.
Okay. And we definitely appreciate that. We definitely appreciate that. And that's why we work so hard and we work day and night to make this work, because we have an obligation to our shareholders. We want you to have a return on your investment. And not only that, we want you to have a significant return on your investment. So I want to thank A Bottle of You and A Bottle of You for Me for joining us on today's episode of Changing the Conversation. And I want to thank Ms. Chiffon Collier for joining us as today's guest. We went over a little bit because the feelings was moving us. It was moving us today.
I loved it. I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. Definitely.
Sometimes it gets like this. I don't know. It's not always like this, but sometimes, I mean, we have some great shows, but today's show, it was a family show, and it was just amazing. So I look forward. I hope to see you on September 27th. I want to thank
you. You will.
All
yes.
The artists. I want to see you. I want to meet you in person. I want to shake your hand and yes. Introduce you at the event on September 27th. To all of our listeners, you want to be there on September 27th. You want to be there because you're going to be in the front of the line. You don't want to be in the back of the line. You get to meet and shake hands with our executives and see the entire Punch TV studios. We're opening the doors September 27th. We have gone over. So until next time, until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Changing the Conversation.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on Changing the Conversation, visit Nabucchi.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.